You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, and Sean Mapes with you coming out of Tuesday. The night after an odd loss for the Houston Astros, I am not hitting the panic button because it was against the Chicago White Sox, game one of that three-game series. But they did lose 4-2. A lot of outraged folks after, particularly probably the man who comes on after us, Jeremy Branham, who is not
the Killer Bakers, am I right?
Yeah, that's a
that's the whole show.
That was actually really good.
They just killed Dusty Baker.
Bees that are killing B.
Yeah.
And you know, they get their name from the Astros. Irony, question mark.
We do like them. Honestly, I find their rants about Dusty Baker very entertaining.
I think they're hilarious. And it is Joel and Jeremy are the perfect pair to do that. Jose Urquidy was great, had seven shutout innings, left with a runner on first. Rafael Montero came in. He allowed that runner as well as three others to get it done.
I just don't like it when he pitches. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Montero is anxiety-inducing. To Dusty Baker's credit, he did take that credit for the loss. Here's Dusty Baker on using the numbers and the loss that resulted.
Sometimes you go by the numbers, sometimes you lose. You know what I mean? So tonight we lost.
Man, it was very zen.
It was very zen. Dusty doesn't show a lot of emotion even after a win, but you could tell that this one bothered him. I'm glad that he said that, though, because he usually, as we've talked about, is more old school. Hey, analytics people, this
nerds.
Is what happens when Dusty does what you want.
Yeah, that's right. Take your glasses off and shove them. But don't actually do that. That's not advised. Maybe get LASIK. That could be a little bit better.
I did like LASIK. LASIK has been life-changing.
You'll definitely look a little less nerdy if you do the LASIK. I'm sorry to assume that people all have glasses out here. Let's get back on topic. You know, Vanessa, I had an issue with two things. Jeremy Pena is a late scratch. Why the hell?
You brought that up in our group text.
Why is Mauricio Dubon leading off? Like, you can put Dubon in the lineup. How about just don't have him batting five times in a game? Especially when, you know, all your runs, you score them early on in the first inning. The other question is about Rafael Montero. I have different, I guess vibes would be the correct term when it comes to Montero, because I remember him in Seattle. And when he comes in a game for you guys, you look at him and you're like, oh, well, he's done really well this year. And I see him come into a game and I'm like, ah! You know, I feel like it's Ken Giles out there, minus punching his own face.
He gave up runs on Sunday. There were a lot of questions about the specific use of Montero. And here's DB on deciding to use Rafael Montero.
Well, I mean, Montero was the freshest, you know, that we had. Stanek had gone. I mean, Montero's been great. You know, just his last two outings were tough. I wasn't going to go to Presley that early because we didn't want him to go multiple innings. We were trying to really kind of stay away from him too, and we really wanted to stay away. We didn't have Stanek tonight. We tried to stay away from him tonight. We just lost.
Yeah,
he sounds real pumped out. Well, he's outlining it. I mean, he could have used any of those guys though. You gave Presley a pretty extended week of relief not too long ago. I get that maybe you want to use him in the ninth inning. What's wrong with putting the guy in with one out to go in the eighth? Like, wow, one extra batter? Because the thing was, there were two outs in the seventh. And check that. There were two outs in the eighth. And Urquidy had allowed a couple of lineouts and the only batter that reached on an infield single. So, on one hand, Urquidy's pitching great. On the other hand, it's fourth time through the lineup. It's maybe not the best situation to leave Urquidy in when his pitch count is high, too. Like, I get some of the reasons for pulling him out, but you didn't need to go to Montero there. You could go to somebody else.
It's kind of like when you get in an argument with your significant other over the dishes or something small. It's never just about the dishes. It's always about more that has been going on. And with last night's decision that cost them the game, you really saw the vitriol and the disgust that people have with his lineup decisions in general. Because let's be honest, it's an August game that you lost to the Chicago White Sox.
It's not like the White Sox are the worst team.
I'm not saying they're the worst. I'm just saying it's really not that deep. But what people were mad about is like an entire season of all of these issues.
I also saw Brian McTaggart tweet that this after this game, the Astros are now 61-5 in games that they lead after the seventh inning. So this isn't even a reoccurring problem with the bullpen. They still have probably the best bullpen in the league to go with, probably the best rotation in the league.
Stat.
And so just because we're frustrated about play Mancini and Vasquez and why are guys hitting here, and then they lose, and now we want to make it about all those things.
It's a cumulative thing. You're exactly right, Sean. It did remind me of a question that we were throwing around after the show yesterday. So obviously we have it pretty damn good here.
Yeah.
And we
are spoiled.
I'm a sports talk show host. It is my job to complain about things and find things to highlight and to say like, oh, this could be better. That could be better. I mean, that's what we do on a daily basis. I get how some people that turns you off, whatever, that's up to you. But at the same time, I realize like I'm covering a damn good team. This is what happens when you only have really covered one damn team and good team in your entire career. Like, sorry, I didn't like those Rockets teams. This is the best team I've ever covered. You have to have a little bit of perspective. And I'll throw this out to you guys, and you can answer 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You can tweet us too, at Gallant Says, at Sports Vanessa. What are things that we're actually allowed to bitch about when it comes to the Houston Astros?
I'll start with this one, because as somebody that has been on a lot of different sides of it, radio, TV, Big J Journo, and then also hosting, I don't like the lack of injury information. Now, let me make this clear. I understand it. Let me also make this clear. I don't think it's bad because it may give you a competitive advantage. We didn't know about Michael Brantley, but guess what? Other teams didn't either because his camp was so quiet. Michael Brantley's not one of those people that's telling the media things. So maybe it worked as an advantage. I understand it. I just think it is a legitimate thing if Astros fans say, okay, well, we didn't know what the hell was going on with Lance McCullers Jr. for a long time. Michael Brantley. There have been some situations where Jake Odorizzi were like, wait, he's on a stretcher, but then it's just discomfort. I do think the injury thing is a legit thing that Astros fans can complain about.
Yeah, transparency is always better. I know that teams don't like to give transparency, but this isn't the NFL where someone's going to be targeting a specific body part. At least you would think. Maybe there is a bounty program that some baseball team is Greg Williamsing their way through somewhere in this league. My number one, as far as acceptable things to complain about with the Astros, not trading for outfield depth at the trade deadline.
Especially now that they know, now that we know what they knew.
They knew with Brantley.
What they most likely knew.
Fair point. Let's give a little plausible deniability there. But, it's a late June injury. It had been a while. They had a month to figure out, oh, maybe we should get somebody else. And, like, Chaz Manian Devil. Woo! Jose Siri before you traded him. Jake Myers, who they love for a reason I can't understand.
The jawline.
It's a nice jawline, but it's not even like he looks like Jake Marisnyk, you know? Like, Jake Marisnyk was dreamy. Jake Myers, you know? He's no Kobe Rasmus. He's no Josh Reddick.
Wow, you know more about jawlines than I do.
I'm trying to figure it out with Jake Myers. I really don't get it. And the other thing, and look, I just prioritize offense over defense. Like, give me a break with this. Martin Maldonado is the only like catcher that should be out there. Christian Vasquez can hit. He comes in, he pinch hits last night. Give the guy more starts. But Maldonado's the only person that understands how a strike zone works. Like, shut up. I don't buy that.
Sean, what is a legitimate thing that you think that Astros fans actually have the right to complain and be upset about?
I think the lineup ordering, like last night was actually, like, this is the thing from last night that is the perfect example is Mauricio Dubon leading off for absolutely no reason.
Right.
Other than, I guess he was filling in last minute for someone else who is going to hit first. And so he has to hit first because he's filling in. And he's the same guy. If he plays the same position, he should bat in the same spot where it's like, that's not how it works.
Right.
At all. Like, this is, I don't even know, like, what the comparison to this kind of is. It's like leaving, like, someone in fantasy football or something. Like, it is absolutely absurd.
It's like you forgot. It really is.
Or it's like, you know what? It's like if Patrick Mahomes goes out, and then when he goes out, you sign Chad Henne and just start Chad Henne because you're like, Chiefs offense. He's the Chiefs quarterback. He should be just as good as the last ones. Like that again. Not how this works. So that'd be my biggest thing. That happens like I don't know once or twice a week.
It happens.
It's like wait, why is like Diaz cleaning up? Like I know he's hitting all right. Come on.
Right. Someone texted in to the same thing as far as actual okay gripes to have with the Houston Astros. Vera, our buddy, tweeted in team selection by Dusty and the medical stuff, like you had said. Jeff Sheen tweets, the concession stands always run out of the stuff I want.
Okay.
That's, I think, a very valid reason.
I didn't think that we were going to get into food, but yeah.
He says there's only 25 soft pretzels a game, and then they're out.
I would like some healthier options at the ballpark. All right.
They don't have enough vegan.
Ew.
Where are their crickets?
Vegan is not healthy.
This is Seattle Paul.
Seattle Paul.
Wow, a lot of fatty proteins along. Right?
Yeah, where's their bullet coffee? Come on, I need a little butter in my coffee.
Oh God,
tastes actually
those people
good.
Are the worst.
Tastes
coming
good.
Up on Vanessa and Gallant. Speaking of the worst, it's our petty segment that's coming up.
Not the worst though, my friends at the Passive Investor Network, PassiveInvestor.net. They're the best. The best real estate investment firm there is, and here's how they do it. They take all of the BS out of having real estate out of your hands and take care of it for you. Here's how it starts. You sit down with somebody from the Passive Investor Network, one of the portfolio advisors, and you go over what you want to do long term. They're going to help you get to those goals long term. They do the first off hard work of finding the parts of town and houses to invest in. Then they do the construction for you. They turn these things and they make them look very pretty. 20 years of experience in Houston fixing houses. And they give you daily updates along the way in the app of your property, which is pretty cool to see. Once the construction's done, guess what? They do more work for you. They find the tenants for you. They do the property management. You own the house. They do the hard work for you and take the headache out of the investment process so you can make money passively to achieve those long-term goals. PassiveInvestor.net today to schedule a free consultation with a portfolio advisor. What do you have to lose? Looking to make some money? They will come up with real goals for you that are realistic for you to reach. Again, meet with them, PassiveInvestor.net. Tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you a free consultation with a portfolio advisor. It's PassiveInvestor.net, the Passive Investor Network.
You are listening to...
Hey! Yeah, you. You better be listening to ESPN 97.5. And don't you dare turn that down.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And we will get to our petty segment in a second. We do first want to take a caller. Keith has his biggest complaint against the Houston Astros. Keith, what's up?
Good morning. My first time to call the show. Thanks for letting
Thank
me on.
You.
Before I get to my Astro take, real quick, I just wanted to say, Vanessa, that I sent you a tweet outing your Ryan Tannehill take. So if he comes after you, I'm sorry. It's my fault. Okay.
Oh, no.
I hope you don't get any
trouble. Ryan, I can kick Ryan Tannehill's butt.
Titus fans are so sensitive,
Ryan
too.
Ryan Tannehill going downhill. But my take on the Astros, guys, is, man, losing World Series games at home. And, you know, you're fighting for home field right now. So hopefully you get home field. But they lost six of their last seven games at home in the World Series. That is the ultimate letdown, and hopefully they can turn that around. And that's my biggest complaint about them. I'll hang up and get your take. Thank you.
That's a great one,
Keith. That actually might be the best legitimate Astros complaint that people have.
And the best part is, it's if any other fan of a team sees that, they'll get so pissed off. Like, what, this guy's complaining about losing at home in the World Series? But you just don't get it. You're not like us. Okay, you can't sit with us. We're better than you. We live in the first world. You live in the third world with a $20 million payroll, Oakland A's fans, Tampa Bay Rays fans. I like it.
Keith, I love that one because when you take inventory...
I also didn't know that it's been that many.
It has been a lot. When I covered the 2019 one against the Nationals, that of course the Nationals won, the Nationals won every game at Minute Maid, and the Astros won every game at the Nationals Park. It was very strange.
Does home field advantage even exist anymore?
Right.
7-1-3.
All right, it's time for our petty segment, and we start with Paul and his edition of Can You Guess Who This Player Is?
Yes. Okay. So I saw this in an article, and I think anyone who has listened to me long enough is going to have a pretty good idea of who it is. But this is the story. It's about a specific quarterback. Quarterback X told Peter King for his latest Football Morning in America column, "The ownership of the players owning our own offense is what really stands out about Team Y, which he plays for. This has to be a player-ran kind of team. Coach Z gives us the keys to do that." An unnamed source who knows Player X also told King this: "Coach Z and Player X are not coach player. They're partners." Can you guess who would have an insufferable spin zone on the relationship that they have with their head coach?
I read this article, so I'm not going to guess. Sean, you guess.
Is it so it has to be a quarterback with like clout in the league, I'd imagine. Or it might be just Kyler Murray. But I would go, you know what? It's Tom Brady and Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
What? They're partners. Do you think Todd Bowles is going
to... You think Todd Bowles is
ordering around
partner?
Tom Brady?
You think Todd Bowles is going to let Tom Brady do anything other than pick up Tom Brady's helmet and shoulder pads as he go off the field?
I mean,
so
he literally gets
Tom
a vacation.
Tom Brady is above Todd Bowles.
Tom Brady's above everyone.
Yeah.
He is our Lord and Savior. Wow. I did not think this would get turned on me. Hmm. No, it was not Tom Brady, Sean.
They're partners.
No, they are not partners.
So which NFL quarterback is arrogant enough to think that he deserves to be a coach?
That would be Russell Wilson.
Oh, you know what set it off is when he said keys and partner. He's given him the keys to the offense. Like, that's something that Russell Wilson would say.
We're not coach player. We're partners. Shut the hell up. Oh, my God. That is so insufferable. And to make matters worse, like, a person who knows Russell Wilson, his agent, who's of course going to spin this.
Right.
If you're the head coach, you just got hired as Nathaniel Hackett. It's your first gig, and you have the quarterback say, like, yeah, it's actually a partnership. You're going to listen to what I tell you to do after two seasons in a row where the Seahawks offense basically fell apart down the stretch. But let's hear what Russell Wilson, who famously did not sleep at all as he rehabbed his wrist injury last year. He didn't sleep. He just rehabbed for 20 hours a day. Russell Wilson, who had the great idea to come back and then lose a couple of games in a row for the Seahawks where he clearly looked affected. This is the guy that now also gets oversight of an offense. Okay.
He also showed up in his own jersey. That's never not going to be weird to me.
The big truck, I thought, was a little much, too.
The big truck was a little much, but the truck at least looked kind of cool. Showing up in your own jersey is never cool unless you're in high school.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, you are petty. That's a good one. David Gettleman, petty. The year is 2018.
It is.
The New York Giants hired Gettleman to become the team's new GM, entered an offseason where he had the number two overall picked, and many thought the Giants were going to draft a QB because Eli Manning was in the back end of his career. It all culminated with Gettleman entering draft night in 2018 and not answering, like completely ignoring the phone call of the Denver Broncos, who were looking to move up to the number two spot to draft a quarterback. Instead, he ignored the phone call and drafted Saquon Barkley, which of course has been a much criticized move. Not even answering the phone call for the number two pick.
He had it on silent.
Yeah. I mean, I actually do have my phone on.
How often do you pick up the phone when someone calls?
Oh, I mean, I have my phone on Do Not Disturb almost all the time.
Okay. I don't even have it on Do Not Disturb. I just generally
don't
pick up.
You just don't.
I just don't want to talk on the phone.
There is... So I don't mind talking on the phone, but there is somebody in my life who I will not out who calls me too often. And when they call me, it's never about something important. And it's no one in my family because I would answer for my family. It's somebody that calls me and it's never about anything important.
Oh.
And so I just don't pick up anymore because if it's that important, that person will keep calling me.
That person knows now.
Yeah.
They're not important to you.
Yeah. It's a little weird. But yeah, David Gettleman, kind of a petty move there. I'm not saying I don't respect it, but it's draft night and I assume Elway and all those guys were with the Broncos at the time. Probably not happy, but they ended up getting Barkley.
Yeah. I That did not go very well for the New York Giants in that spot. You probably could have gotten something in return because, yes, there were some desperate teams to move up in that year's draft class because there were some people that really liked Sam Darnold for whatever reason.
Weddings bring out the petty in a lot of people. Who's on the guest list? Who can get a plus one? Who's going to be mad that somebody else goes home with a bridesmaid? It's Paul. You had a petty nomination.
Okay. I have a couple of things here. So, first off, if you're Draymond Green, why would you invite LeBron James to your wedding?
Because they're friends.
Are they friends? I really don't know.
I mean, I'm assuming they're friends if he's invited to his wedding.
They're both represented by Clutch, and they do spend a lot of time tweeting and Instagramming each other, like
highlights. Fire emojis.
And, yeah, they're all buddy-buddy. Like, I think...
so disappointing.
Draymond, I'll look for the caption, but he captioned a picture of him and LeBron, and I think Rich Paul, and he said, like, thanks to my king for coming to my wedding.
God.
You made it special
even
or something.
God.
They lost an NBA Finals because LeBron overreacted to something that took place in a game. Like, right? Because Draymond got ejected for what I thought was an absolute bogus reason with LeBron in, what was it? The 2017, 2016 NBA Finals?
2016 is the one the Cavs won.
Yeah! And LeBron got Draymond ejected from a game. I'm sorry, I would never invite someone to my wedding.
Oh, you
that.
Would you would hold that against them for the
Hell
rest of
yeah.
their lives.
If anyone got you ejected out of a flag football game, they're not invited to your wedding?
Sean, that could have been the greatest team in NBA history. And you invite the guy to your wedding after his embellishment gets you ejected for what I thought was a BS reason. You were crushing them in that series. The series was over. It was 3-1.
Also, I've been told that I'm not a quote-unquote girl's girl because I don't do the commenting on girls' pictures where I'm like, oh, my God, you're so perfect. Can I be you? Fire emojis.
Those
queen.
People are...
Right? But my thing is that guys can sometimes do the same thing.
Guess
and
what?
To me, it's a little bit fake. I'm sorry.
Do
I'm
it
sorry.
Privately. I hate it, too. I think the only reason people do that, Vanessa, is because they're trying to make the algorithm work better for them so that their posts show up a little bit more on Instagram. That's the only reason people
realize,
put those stupid comments up like a fire. 100
but women
fire.
Talk crap about other women and then are like, oh, my God, literal perfection. It's like, I just heard
it's
you
not.
Talking smack about her.
Right.
Draymond and LeBron are the same way.
I'm also, forget the fact that, you know, LeBron.
You and I just hate on each other's posts, which is the best.
That's true. Well, see,
but you
we
know
make
what?
Fun of each
real.
Other.
That's real. Exactly.
We both think social media is low-key
right.
stupid.
Low-key.
Maybe high-key. But in this situation, it's not just that. Like, LeBron James is one of the biggest attention seekers that there is. You're Draymond Green. Maybe I'm looking at this from the lady's perspective, but if you're Draymond, would you want an attention seeker
absolutely
to come to your
not.
Wedding?
No, absolutely
LeBron's
not.
LeBron's wearing a red dress
you
to your
not
wedding.
Invite somebody who is going to take the attention away to any event that's about you.
LeBron's the kind of person who would wear a wedding gown
right.
to someone else's wedding,
yeah,
say
Dennis
that
Rodman
he wore
style.
Gowns. Yes.
Yeah. LeBron James, petty. David Gettleman, petty. Russell
yeah.
Wilson is a weekly star in
I'm
our
just
petty
I have the caption. Well, there's also one with Steph, LeBron, and Draymond all holding a championship ring and says the Four Rings Club, which is also hilarious because they all won them against each other. And then the one I was talking about was, this is from Draymond Green's Instagram. Thank you, my king, for making my wedding 10 times better.
I don't
love you 4L at King Jam.
I don't believe that's real.
For life, baby.
Fake news.
And there's a flex.
Did he post more about LeBron than his wife that he married?
Judging off the 3 tweets that I've seen of screenshots of his Instagram story, yes.
Oh,
I'm
my
disturbing.
God, dude.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
Outrageous.
What are some Hall of Fame excuses for substances inhaled, injected, etc.? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Fernando Tatis Jr. has been suspended 80 games for PEDs. It's a story we see in baseball a lot. It's a story we're seeing in the NFL a lot, including former Texan DeAndre Hopkins. But the excuse The excuse is pretty incredible.
This guy's already a dummy.
Yeah.
I mean,
his rap sheet is like,
he hasn't played this year because he broke his wrist on a motorcycle accident. So let's just start off there. And now he's not going to get to come back in a stretch run that would also feature Juan Soto on the San Diego Padres. This would arguably be... Yeah, it's selfish of him to go on the motorcycle. I get it. Accidents happen. You're asking for trouble with the motorcycle. Just ask Ben Roethlisberger about that. But then this.
His dad, obviously, said... his dad, who played in the major leagues, what involves him is a steroid that contains a spray called Trofaball. He got a fungus due to a haircut. His mistake was not reading what it contains, which is apparently what makes him guilty of something totally unknown.
Can we pause for a second?
Incredible.
You can get fungus from a haircut?
I have no idea. I mean, I guess if you're using nasty... Have you ever heard of this, Sean?
No, but Tatis does have dreads, and I think he dyes them. Maybe that's something.
Yeah.
Like, he has, like, blonde highlights in his dreads.
So maybe that's the implication.
Oh, wow. So there is such a thing as a barber's itch.
So then he got a ringworm, allegedly, from that haircut. So I think that's it went haircut, went according to Tatis Sr., haircut, ringworm appears. He uses the Trofaball to treat the ringworm from said haircut. Then he gets busted.
Wow. You can get, this is disgusting. I've just gone down a rabbit hole I don't want to be a part of. You can get a lot of different things, apparently, by going to your barber.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can, but it's probably A, very rare, and B...
That's why they have that thing and that disinfectant.
Yeah.
I imagine that's because of that.
So, I mean, look, you're a baseball player. You're making $340 million. I don't know. Go to one that uses that?
Yeah. Fly in a barber.
Tinea capitis is a fungal infection of the scalp that can take the shape of ringworm. At the barbershop, it can spread via poorly sanitized combs or towels. And in severe cases, it can lead to permanent scarring and hair loss. So, damn! I mean, that sounds like what he's dealing with right now.
His dad is not happy telling newspaper outlets that people will stop watching baseball. Millions of fans are going to stop watching baseball now. It's a total disappointment.
Millions?
Yeah, he said this is a catastrophe, what has taken place, not just for Junior, but for all of baseball. There are millions of fans who are going to stop watching baseball now. It's a total disappointment for Dominican fans throughout the world for something so insignificant.
Wait, he's not playing? He's not playing, period.
Also,
well, now also, millions of fans are going to stop.
Yeah, who in Major League Baseball are all the Dominican fans going to watch? Now that the one Dominican baseball player is
out of it. That's true. There's only one Dominican baseball player ever. You know, David Ortiz, not really from the Dominican Republic. Manny Ramirez, not really. Pedro Martinez, not really.
So we heard the protein shake excuse for DeAndre Hopkins. That one was pretty mild. What are some of the best doping excuses that we've ever heard among athletes in history? Do you guys have any favorites? Sean, let's start with you.
The one that comes to mind immediately, and thank you, Paul, last night for jogging my memory of who this was. Dwayne Brown getting suspended 10 games for PEDs and then blaming it on Mexican beef. And then this is – I don't know if this helps or hurts his Hall of Fame case of steroid excuses, but then it gets appealed. And he wins the case because apparently there are steroids in Mexican beef.
Yes, though Mexico has – banned clenbuterol for use in livestock. Ranchers there have been known to use the steroid to help increase meat yields. Last year, authorities, this is from 2016, inspected 200 slaughterhouses and found it in nearly 60 of them. So it's like almost half of meat in Mexico is tainted by the roids, theoretically.
Is it tainted? I guess it just leaves trace amounts of the roids in your body, right?
Yes.
So how was he able to prove it? Was he able to just show him the receipt from his trip and say, look, I really did eat this?
Yeah, show him the receipt of whatever resort in Mexico he had prime rib at.
Hey, respect to him, though, for fighting that.
And it's like, where do they get their cows? Test those cows.
Right.
They're on the roids.
But that, I mean, that, imagine how much work the NFL would have to do to track all of that down. Are they sending like a private investigator to a random ranch in
Mexico? NFL is team petty.
That's true.
The NFL is team petty.
But just the headline, like, blames tainted meat on PED suspension, or blames PED suspension on Mexican tainted beef. that already is just a hilarious thing to be like, no, it's the meat I ate that's steroids, not the steroids.
There was one from a New York Jets wide receiver, Jeremy Curley, who tested positive for PEDs, 4-game suspension for doping violations. This is in 2017. He said there were a lot of ghosts around and that it must have been one of the ghosts that caused a positive test. Shocker, this did not dissuade the authorities and he was forced to serve his ban.
Hmm.
Wait, the NFL didn't call Ghostbusters?
They didn't. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
I have a fantastic local one. This took place 10 years ago. And it was something that, you know, a defensive rookie of the year right here
in Houston.
Brian Cushing.
Oh, no.
When he tested positive for PED usage, blamed overtraining. Cushing described the condition after Monday morning's practice, the syndrome, overtrained athlete syndrome, can trigger hormonal spikes after breaks in training, explaining why he would have tested positive for a fertility drug last September, a drug he said he never took. I mean, I like that. Overtrained athlete syndrome. Like, it's a real disease.
His excuse is that I tested positive because I work out too much.
Yeah, I'm too jacked,
I'm too strong for this steroid.
He married into the right family to do that, though. He and J.J. Watt, brother-in-laws.
Are they really?
Yeah, okay. They married sisters.
Huh. Wait,
they married...
Their wives are sisters.
Their wives are sisters.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, family of four girls.
Jeff Kent broke his wrist washing his car.
Here's a good one. Sex 4 times plus 5 beers. American sprinter Dennis Mitchell blamed having sex with his wife 4 times and consuming 5 beers the night before a drug test. Quote, it was her birthday. The lady deserved a treat. He blamed that for high testosterone levels.
Hmm. Okay.
That's
USA Track
good.
And Field, by the way, bought it and cleared the charges. But the International Association of Athletics Federations wasn't convinced.
Okay, how did
and he get a 2-year ban?
Okay, good. I was going to say, how did they test that? Like, what?
His wife's like, yeah, he laid it on me. He laid the pipe.
In 2006, Johnny Weir, a figure skater, said that he was late to the 2006 Olympic Games and didn't win a medal because he missed the bus. He said, I never felt comfortable in this building. I didn't feel my inner peace. I didn't feel my aura. I think that's a good one. It's like not quite mental health, but it's like on the verge.
That's also very figure skating. Like Brian Cushing's is very NFL. That is very figure skating.
Yeah.
Like the aura's off. The vibes are off.
The vibes are not
I'm
immaculate.
I'm feeling the vibes of this rink.
Another excuse, guys. Vinny Testaverde threw 35 interceptions his rookie year.
Okay.
Why? And actually, I don't know. This could be legit. Color blindness. That's what he attributed to.
Oh.
Maybe that is a thing.
What? That Ravens player wasn't seeing clearly for 8 years.
Yeah.
As someone who is colorblind, it would be
wow, we didn't
very,
know that.
It would be a very narrow set of circumstances where he couldn't tell whatever,
it would
whatever
just be like
uniform
red, green.
The Tampa Bay Bucks were wearing.
So you really don't see color?
No, I see color. It's reds and greens I can't
It's what?
See. Reds and greens.
Oh.
So that color probably. Rush game between the Bills and the Jets would
yes.
have been an absolute nightmare for you.
So when they line up, I can tell which one's wearing red, which one's wearing green. And then when they merge, they all just look the same.
Oh, wow.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Interesting.
We're just learning a lot on Vanessa and Gallant. This is your
six-month
educational.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not our anniversary. Stop saying
it's six-month anniversary.
No, it was 2 days ago. We missed
well,
it.
Well, listen, the Wheelhouse of the Killer Bees are celebrating 1 year, and we're celebrating 6 months.
People that celebrate six-month anniversaries, that's a good cause to break up.
No, I think it just shows.
Happy 6 months.
I think it just shows that they care, like, more. You know?
Do you also sit on the same side of the booth as women?
No, but you know what? Next month, at our seventh-month anniversary?
Absolutely not.
I expect a present.
There won't be a seven-month if you keep up with this. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our Garbage Time segment. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Presented
breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Kelly Eiko from The Athletic tweeted out that according to sources telling The Athletic, the Houston Rockets are going to be on national television four times this season.
Okay.
November 12th at New Orleans, November 26th versus Oklahoma City, January 11th at Sacramento, January 16th at Los Angeles. Four games, not as many as I'd like for the Houston Rockets, but they're young. I get it.
I'm cool with it. I think that the theme of the first three games there is that they're going to be playing exciting young talent, although maybe that's up for debate with Sacramento. But yeah, you get hopefully Zion Williamson for the New Orleans game, and the Oklahoma City Thunder game is going to be the Chet Holmgren could have had him if he only fell one more spot to you. I do wish that they had gotten Vaccaro or Holmgren. Nothing against Jabari Smith. But, yeah.
I thought Bankara was the pick, by the way.
I thought he was going to fall to him, too. Right. And look, I do. There are things about Smith that I've liked in limited summer league action that I've seen of him. But, yeah, not that surprising. I do feel like if you really want to have some fun, BUSR.com/ESPN.
Let's do it.
Maybe put a little something on the Rockets to
make Monet.
The playoffs. You know, I feel like they should not be a lock to make the playoffs. I mean, more, they should be a team that at the very least is within grasp of the play-in tournament, as opposed to being, you know, the worst team in basketball last year.
This is a good time in Houston because we're always excited about the Astros, but I do think that this is the first time in years that you could be excited about where the Texans and Rockets seem to be going. I'm not saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl and the NBA playoffs respectively. I'm saying that you now have a competent head coach and offensive coordinator with the Texans. You have a second-year quarterback. And then you have a young Rockets team that they're building around. I'm excited.
I would rather have this Rockets team than James Harden.
Great point.
It's definitely, like, easier to root for, not just in, I know, your, like, personal aversion to James Harden, but also just the fact that you're not having to worry about, oh, how do we match up against the Warriors? What moves do we need to make? It's just like, hey, Jalen Green showed some flashes, and Jabari looks nice, and look at these young guys. They're all having fun on TikTok. I don't know.
Kevin Porter Jr., he's quitting in the middle of games. It's entertaining.
Yeah, it's much less stress than, like, worrying about, like, playoff seeding and who matches up with who. It's like, you know, I just want to see some flashes.
Speaking of TikTok, our first story for Garbage Time involves TikTok.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage. Oh,
I wonder how bad this video of this famous TikToker being Jackson Mahomes
could
be.
I thought he was gone forever.
But Jackson Mahomes has continuously popped up as berating local bars. He danced on the number of Sean, why is his last name slipping me, that passed away for the Commanders.
Sean Taylor,
thank you. He's done a lot of things that have been questionable. He's had to issue a couple of apologies. And this latest video of him at a bar absolutely berating not only the bartender, but folks around him is just bad. The caption of whoever Snapchatted this, Patrick Mahomes, cut him off, my guy. Couldn't agree more.
We don't have the context, to be fair, but why would you want to give context to anything that
this
involves
is pretty
him?
Bad.
And I got to say, too, like, everyone there is acting calm and rationally.
His friends around him are.
Except for him. He is the one that's creating the scene there. Yeah, I thought he was in Belize, if you will. A little Better Call Saul reference. I didn't watch the series finale last night, but Vanessa, in Breaking Bad, there's a moment where Saul Goodman asks Walt if he wants to take someone to Belize. I was hoping that Patrick had at least taken his TikTok account to Belize.
Belize is where they take people to die?
Yeah, you never see him again. Right.
On Yellowstone, they take him to the train, and then the guy takes him out there, and they say, I thought I was going to the train, and the guy gets the gun out and goes, you are the long black train. Spoiler alert.
Was that the second episode, the guy who was messing with Jimmy?
Absolutely.
And then
great
they play
episode.
Like, Keep the Wolves Away by Uncle Lucius, and it was just, that episode was awesome.
It's a great, I great love that show. I can't wait for November for Yellowstone's next season.
I do want him to kill Jamie, though.
Wait, which one's Jamie again?
The annoying old son. The son who's the suit. Oh, the suit son.
The
yes.
suit son.
Yeah.
I think Jamie eventually will. I mean, he had a different dad. His dad died. Biological dad. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I want Jamie to die.
All right, next up.
And I want Beth to ruin my life.
Yeah, you would want Beth to ruin your life. French activists are filling golf holes with cement to protest watering exemptions during the drought. So they're making exemptions, exceptions, cement. Whatever, for golf courses. So French activists are filling. I'm not going to lie, I kind of get this. Golf courses shouldn't be able to have water if other people can't have water.
J'ai besoin de agua. I forget how to say water.
Aren't you French?
I used to take French. I used to be French club president. I don't
but
remember anything. French Canadian. Oui. Oui. Yeah. You know what? It is kind of BS that they have water restrictions against them and a golf course doesn't. Like, kick rocks. Who's going to France to golf?
Right.
Also, France, just be careful with the French activists. We all know how that ends.
Ooh, it does. Ooh.
It starts with cement, it ends with heads.
Yeah.
Wait, fill me in on the reference.
The French Revolution. They guillotine people in the streets.
Not to be confused with the Second French Revolution. Or, like, the three different Napoleon dictators that ruled France.
If it ain't American history, I don't know it. I'm kidding. kind of. In other news, there is going to be a remake of The Wizard of Oz. Kenya Barris is going to write and direct a reimagining of The Wizard of Oz for Warner Brothers.
So original.
It was announced. 1939 film. I will tell you, I was obsessed with this movie as a kid. I watched this every day after kindergarten for a year.
I don't understand why we need to remake it.
I don't know why it needs to be remade
either. It's a 1939 classic. It's like the first Technicolor movie. I mean, there is something to that movie that does hold up. Obviously, it's a dated movie. What are they going to turn everything into CGI now? And my God, WB just like slashed a bunch of different projects. What? So you could go do like the lamest thing that's been done before and done to perfection? Why can't we be original anymore?
Honestly, credit for waiting 90 years. That we get a new whatever. We get new Spider-Mans every 10 minutes.
I mean, that is a
minutes.
Classic. Yeah. Is Dorothy going to have Bitcoin? I mean, like, what's it going to... Is she going to have a golden doodle instead of...
Oh, NFT
Toto?
Shoes.
NFT, yeah.
Do we know that it will... That Dorothy will be Dorothy?
The Wicked Witch is going to say the vibes are not immaculate.
What if Dorothy's, like, a Dan as opposed to Dorothy? Like, what if they switch things up a little bit? I don't know.
I mean, it does say a reimagining, which I'm guessing means it's going to look a little bit different.
They've done other Wizard of Oz movies, right?
Like, wasn't
there
here's
one with
my
like
thing.
James Franco?
Yeah,
back
there
in the
is. There's the one called The Wiz, which was African American influenced, and that was excellent. That was a really
is that a musical?
Yeah, but that it again musical, and it had its own flavor to it. Like it wasn't. Yes, it was
there's
based
Wicked.
On The Wizard of Oz, and then Wicked is like different enough because it's Broadway. This I don't know.
Is
I don't it, know what they're gonna do. With
yeah,
this.
Is this gonna be like? We're going to be in Kansas and a storm and she wakes up and like, is it literally the same plot or is it like, like when you say a reimagine, what do you mean by that?
Right. I'm interested to see it.
More Ezra Miller.
Everybody, when Steve, do you guys remember when Steve Irwin died? And I like most people, when I first heard, I'm like, oh my God, one of the crocodiles got him. And it ended up being a stingray. Mm-hmm. Just incredibly sad. Also a little awkward. Pour one out for renowned snake expert Marty Martin, dubbed the ambassador of rattlesnakes, who died from a rattlesnake bite.
Wasn't a very good ambassador then, huh?
No.
I will say, if you're the rattlesnake ambassador, that's kind of how you want to go out.
Yeah,
do you
right?
think so?
Yeah.
Especially because he made it to 80. So he got
impressive.
A full career of being an ambassador to
he died in his West Virginia home last week. He was 13 years old when he started dealing with these rattlesnakes in Virginia.
Wow, so he had a 67-year rattlesnake career.
Rattlesnakes are very West Virginia, by the way. And I don't mean like naturally found there. I just imagine that people in West Virginia would have a rattlesnake.
He wrote a book called The Timber Rattlesnake, Life, History, Distribution, Status, and Conservation Action Plan, which was released last year. So you know what? He got to release the big book. He really had a nice life.
It sounds like a terrible way to go, though.
Oh, yeah, it'd be painful.
It's got to suck. To die of poison?
Yeah.
That's
especially because you probably know for a little bit. You're like, oh, crap. Well,
yeah,
this sucks.
Like, you can see, because my dad got bit by, not a rattlesnake, but when he was a kid. And
poisonous snake, though?
Yes.
Holy crap.
Cottonmouth.
Those things are all over the place.
Yeah, here. And so his knee, or not his knee, but below his knee, his calf is all, like, torn up because they had to, like, cut off, like,
oh my God.
That's a hell of a story.
Ow.
Yeah. Do you guys remember the movie Holes with all the rattlesnakes? Great
Shia
movie.
LaBeouf.
With Kiss and Kate Barlow.
There's a book, too.
Digging on. Yeah, that was a great movie. Coming up, it is the 1-year anniversary of the Killer Bees. And boy, do they have some Dusty Baker takes for you, I'm sure. Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank celebrating their 1-year anniversary. That's next.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.